We have a problem. This problem is just a little word, just two letters long, but this little word is actually a very big word. It can not only influence, but it can direct, even control our lives. This little word is if. If. Have you ever been tempted to say or to pray, "I'll follow you, Jesus, if the road isn't that windy and if there aren't too many hurdles along the way," or "I'll carry my cross if it's not too heavy," or "I'll walk by faith if I can see enough light at the end of the tunnel"? This word finds its way into our relationships, our interactions with other people, our decisions in life. I'll forgive if they first apologize to me. I'll be generous if I get credit for it. I'll love my neighbor if they go to my church and belong to my club and vote the way I vote in political elections. Let me tell you, if is a dangerous word. It turns love into a bargain and faith into a transaction, obedience into a negotiation. And our readings on this first Sunday of Lent invite us to think about sacrifices, and they highlight the fact that if is never included in a sacrifice. Sacrifice means loving and giving and serving freely and unconditionally, with no ifs, ands, or buts. If is a powerful word, and the devil knew it. That's why the devil used it when he spoke to Jesus. Picture this. Jesus has just been baptized. The voice of God has thundered, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And then Jesus slipped off into the wilderness on a sort of sabbatical, a sort of time to refresh and renew for the tasks in front of him. By the time the devil showed up, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. So the devil slithered in and whispered in Jesus' ear, "If you are the Son of God, turn those stones into bread." Jesus responded, "One does not live by bread alone." So the devil spoke again, "If you worship me, I will give you the kingdoms of the world." And Jesus quoted the word of God, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil spoke again, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple." In other words, prove you are who you say you are. And Jesus said, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Every time the devil tempted Jesus with an if, Jesus answered with sacrifice. He was willing to be hungry, willing to surrender power, willing to give up a claim and influence. And in the 2,000 years since, the devil's tactics haven't changed. He whispers this same poison in our ears. He tells us to say things like, "If you get credit, then make a donation to that nonprofit. If you'll get something in return, then help that person in need." If. You see, that conditional approach is antithetical to what it really means to sacrifice. Sacrifice means giving before we know the results, trusting before we know the outcome, promising to follow God before we know the destination. In our reading from Deuteronomy today, God was telling his people what they would do when they entered the land he was giving to them. And God gave a command: "When you enter the land, take the first fruits of the harvest and offer them to the Lord." God said, "Give the first fruit." Give before you know what the next harvest will bring. Give before you know how things will turn out. Give without any if in your gift. That's what it means to trust, to have faith, even to sacrifice. Soren Kierkegaard, the great Christian thinker, put it this way: the greatest thing each person can do is to give themselves to God utterly and unconditionally. Utterly, unconditionally, no ifs, no half measures, no hesitation. The world teaches us to ask, what's in it for me? What will I get in return? Will anybody see what I've done? Will I get credit for my good actions? But Jesus tells us that sacrifice is completely different, because the truest test of generosity and sacrifice is whether we will give when nobody knows, when nobody sees, when nobody is there to pat us on the back and tell us we've done a good job. Because sacrifice isn't about waiting for applause or getting recognition or including some if. Nicholas Winton was a young British stockbroker who in 1938 was planning a ski trip to Switzerland, but a friend who was working with refugees in Czechoslovakia called him and said, in short, Nicholas, forget the Alps, you need to see what's happening here. So instead of hitting the slopes, Nicholas Winton went to Prague, and what he saw in 1938 was horrifying. Hundreds of Jewish families, throngs of children, had escaped to Czechoslovakia, fleeing Hitler's rising power. But now they were stranded, unable to escape Europe, nowhere to go, no way out. Nicholas was worried that if nothing was done, these families might not survive Hitler's charge across Europe. So Nicholas started raising money and forging documents and arranging transportation and doing whatever he could to get these families out of Europe and into safety. In total, he saved 669 people from certain death, 669 lives, 669 futures, because he sacrificed not only a good ski trip, but also a lot of money and time and even personal safety. Now that's a great story, isn't it? That's the kind of story that gets a book deal or lands a Hollywood movie. All Nicholas had to do was to post this story on his Facebook feed, and it would inevitably go viral, and he would get a TED Talk and a Netflix docuseries and a blue check mark on Instagram. So who did Nicholas share this story with? Who did he tell? Nobody. Not his friends. Not his family. Even a few years later when he got married, not even his wife. For 50 years, no one knew about this story until one day when his wife was cleaning out their attic, she found an old dusty box, and inside it was a scrapbook that hadn't been opened in years. This scrapbook was filled with pictures and names and the details about these 669 people. His wife asked him, "Why didn't you ever tell anyone?" He said, "Because it wasn't about me." That's what sacrifice looks like. Not doing something because you want a certain result. Not doing something if fill in the blank, but doing something simply because it's the right thing to do. Now, I have a confession to make this morning. I used to be a good runner. 5 days a week, shoes laced, playlist queued, out the door before the sun was up. And then about a year ago, maybe a little more, I hurt my knee pretty badly. So I did all my physical therapy like a champ. I did all the stretches. I followed my therapist's directions. And then when my knee was finally strong again, I did what every responsible, motivated, determined runner would do. I found every excuse not to run. I let the word if take control of my life. I will run if I don't lose an hour of sleep because of daylight savings time. I will run if the weather is nice. I will run if I feel like getting out of bed when my alarm goes off. I'll run if my shorts are clean and the weather's nice and Mercury isn't in retrograde. And most of all, if I feel like it. And by the time I put all these ifs together, I was running about once a month. And running once a month doesn't make you a runner. It makes you a person who owns running shoes, probably clean running shoes. Now, I know the ifs in my running life don't really matter, but the ifs in my relationship and our relationships with God do matter. We'll say things like, I'll pray more if I feel like it in the morning. I'll read the Bible if I have extra time. I'll go to church if the kids wake up happy and the dog is calm and I hit all green lights on the way there. Well, you want to know the result of all these ifs? We never pray, we don't grow, we don't go deeper in our faith. And Lent, this season we've just begun, is a time when we can decide to make changes, to grow in our spiritual lives, to more fully commit ourselves to serving others, not if the conditions are right, but because it's the right thing to do. So what would it look like in your life if you committed to spending just 10 hours in these next 40-ish days serving others? What if you spent an hour or two each Sunday morning this Lent helping Mitzi make breakfast in the kitchen here at the cathedral? Or what if you decided once a week to go to Solzbacher and help them cook breakfast from 6 to 8 a.m. for this season? Is there a sacrifice that God has been calling you to make? When Nicholas Winton's wife found that dusty old scrapbook, she did exactly what any good spouse would do. She told everyone about it. Nicholas ended up on the TV show That's Life, a British TV show that's sort of a mix of 60 Minutes and Oprah, if you can imagine that. Nicholas was a guest sitting in the front row as the host talked about the 669 people he'd saved in the late 30s. And then the host looked around the room at all the audience gathered there behind Nicholas and said, if you are in this audience and you owe your life to this man, if you're one of these 669 people or their children or their grandchildren, please stand. And the entire room stood up. Every single person, people with children and grandchildren and hobbies and passions and interests and jobs, people who never would have existed if it weren't for Nicholas Winton, a man who never asked for recognition, who never told anyone, who never needed an if before he acted. The applause in that room lasted for 10 minutes. And as I think about this, I imagine that the angels in heaven burst into applause also. Because, my friends, that's what love looks like. That's what sacrifice looks like. So in your life, what are you waiting on? What's the if that's holding you back from loving and giving and serving and sacrificing without any conditions, with no strings attached? What's the if keeping you from leading the life God calls you to? Because my prayer is that one day when you enter the kingdom of God there will be a standing ovation for you also, because you gave sacrificially, you gave with no conditions, you gave without any if. Amen.